All right, friends, we're back for your favorite podcast show of the week. This is Location Weekly. It is episode number 657, and we are recording on February the 12th. And if you're watching the video right now and not just listening to the audio, you will see that Aubriana is not with us this week or next week. Instead, we have our good friend and co-partner, president of the LBMA, Karsten, is joining us from Munich today. So, yeah, how are you?
Well, thanks for having me at the show. Thank you very much. I'm great. So actually, the year already kicked off with a lot of events. So behind and in front of us, so lots of travel, lots of adjustments, so really speeding up this year. So it's great. Also, our LBMA activities are coming back. So retail logos in US, Minneapolis is coming. So Retail Loco also here in Europe is coming. So yeah, a lot of things to do keeps us busy, which makes great. And also I see a big impact for the industry with the new Apple device, Apple Vision Pro, coming to spatial computing. That's what they call it. And if we just try to bring it into the nutshell of location-based, we are 100% in the game. So that makes me very, yeah, confident that we will have a great year.
Love it. Yeah, exciting times. It's definitely been a busy start to the year with a lot of conferences and travel, CES and NRF, and you know, all the things that you know we've been doing, and you've been all over Europe in the last little while as well. I've been seeing, so a lot happening for sure. Yeah, so we have four stories for you this week, kind of back to the normal format, no guest, and we should just jump right into it again. So Karsten, you want to kick us off?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Our friends from Starship Technologies, this is the robot company you all heard about. So they're delivering goods by the robots with the small wheels to the streets. Those guys raised another $19 million. A new funding brings them to a total of $230 million since 2014. And why are they doing this? They believe that 6 million deliveries worldwide will be leading with autonomous delivery. And also they have robots operational in 80 locations, including US and Europe. And they are working on the future because in terms of carbon footprint and energy efficiency, these small little tiny robots, we all saw the videos, can be a solution for that. And they believe also that AI will help them to make it work more good as it doing right now, especially when it comes down to tracking the last mile delivery, because there are always challenges with finding the right door, finding the entrance, finding the customer, those kind of things. And lastly, they found out that they have to charge their robots. And wireless charging of robots in this size is obviously something new. They want to invest in that. And that's the reason for getting the money. So overall, I guess it's a good start. Now, with more money into that robot delivery scenery. I love the videos of the stuck little robots somewhere and someone steal their whole robot. But yeah, this is what it is right now. This is where we are. And let's see how that develops.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's an interesting story. I mean, obviously, these guys have been fairly successful since 2014 to continue to operate at this pace and this level and this kind of capital infusion into them. When I was at CES, the beginning of the year, there was a lot of talk about autonomous stores and autonomous delivery and all of these kinds of things was definitely a hot topic. I do like that they're kind of focusing on this sort of angle of energy efficiency and environmental sort of impact. They talk about it being able to, an average delivery only takes the same amount of energy as a boiling kettle for a single cup of tea. They say they've reduced 1.8 million kilograms of carbon dioxide already. And they have some interesting customers in Bolt and Grubhub and Sodexo already using their robots. So I think it's you know, it's an interesting time for this kind of technology, and I think that we're just going to see more and more of it. I mean, I'm with you. I mean, you see the videos and you're like, oh, this is cute, this is interesting, but I can't quite bring myself, you know, to seeing this coming down my sidewalk, you know, delivering something. I think in, you know, like sort of high density urban, you know, environments, you know, I don't know, you know, if I think about this in Tokyo, for example, where it's just like so many people on the street, you know, and how's this thing going to navigate around? I have some challenges with that. I think in less dense environments, I think this could be very useful, and obviously is. But overall, I think I like their message. I like their approach to the market, and the environmental impact around it piece is also interesting. So
you're totally right. So if it comes to places where you have a stable environment, let's call it like this, where it's always the same, when it comes to big buildings, people are moving more and more into cities. We have this giant super mega cities around the globe, and if you look in this one small quarter of a big city where everything is more or less set it up in a good way with multiple floors, you have living, you have offices, you have, so we are always thinking about the street and our urban environments we live in, but it's more like downtown, multi-floor buildings, corridors, things like that. There I can think robots will be a perfect fit. On the street, on the high street, with all the technical limitations you will face, the weather conditions, for example. So even a human, it can be very challenging to go to a sidewalk when it's icy, for example. So those kind of things. Yeah, question mark. But in terms of, yeah, this closed environment or more, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Like corporate campuses, like, you know, big corporate campuses, I think this yeah. is a perfect solution for that, right? Exactly. You know, or, you know, big, you know, food preparation, you know, areas or things like that, cafeterias, all that kind of stuff. I can see a lot of use cases for this. Or even internally in big warehouses. Yeah. You know, for, you know, moving things around, I think a lot of potential. But yeah, overall, I like it. I think it's an interesting, you know, sort of use of technology and a good story. Okay, coming over to Toronto here in Canada, there's a company out of the UK called Darabase, and they've just announced their first international expansion, opening an office here in Toronto. A longtime friend of the LBMA is leading that operation here, Peter Pinfold, and as the Canadian CEO. And so what Darabase is aiming to do is to educate and help sort of the Canadian, you know, real estate industry, or the global real estate industry for that matter, property owners and such, to start thinking more about their digital property rights, or what they call property digital rights, actually PDRs. This is being seen as a new asset class that property owners need to kind of think about and protect and manage, and ultimately figure out how they monetize. Because there are, you know, as we know, when we start thinking about, you know, augmented reality and virtual reality, these kinds of things, people are already creating environments, you know, layering, you know, content on top of, you know, physical world properties. And if the property owners, you know, aren't involved in that, they're potentially missing out on a big chance to, you know, participate in the monetization part of that. So anyhow, so Darabase is, and their website, by the way, is darabase.io. So they're, you know, the world's first PDR inventory registry. So you basically jump on there, you register your property. It doesn't matter, you know, what form factor that property takes, be it a warehouse or a tower or, you know, what have you, or a shopping mall. You know, then it gives you a way to then, you know, sort of register that in their environment, And then, you know, be able to work collaboratively on AR-based advertising, you know, content on your digital property rights there. And, you know, and basically they can help you, you know, with that monetization, selling those ads and those kinds of things. So I think it's an interesting space. It's very, I would say, early days in this category. I mean, not that digital property rights hasn't been a thing in the past. I know, you know, there's been lots of stories over the years of, you know, air rights and things like that in terms of, you know, who, you know, I know Trump, you know, has a lot of things in New York over the years that I've followed in terms of some of his towers and the air rights around those towers and those kinds of things. But when we talk about digital property rights, it's a different thing here. And specifically, we're talking about, you know, layering ad content and AR content in particular on top of that. And what are your thoughts on this, Carson?
Actually, this reminds me about a conversation we had a couple of years ago about who is owning the digital space and the air at the end of the day around the building and in the building. And so there are many layers we can discuss. So I love the idea to, first of all, get an inventory list, what we have or what we're supposed to have. And then we have to find out if there is a way to protect it, yes or no. And when it comes to use, so that this is interesting, but let us jump into kind of business models, because I try to understand it from your side. So what's the business model behind that?
Yeah, basically it's really about, you know, the, you know, just registering, you know, the property, you know, having the inventory available there, and then, you know, working to sell that inventory to, you know, advertising partners, you know, from an AR point of view. So the business model, as I understand it today, is really around revenue sharing around, you know, the monetization of the advertising space.
Right. So does it mean I have a landmark or office, something like that, and if somebody will put some advertising on and they get paid, they're going to pay me?
Yes.
Right. Yeah. I think it's super interesting to see how that turns out in terms of who is allowed to do that, who not, and how you want to protect it. When it comes to inside spaces, we had from the LBMA a discussion here in Europe about who's owning that digital space. What means at the end, we found out if it's public, it's very hard to defend. Yeah, and it's the environment itself, because if everybody can enter it, so everybody can more or less do whatever they want. So that's interesting to see. But first of all, just getting an inventory list makes it, yeah, very, very good for me and understandable, yes.
Yeah, I mean, I love the concept. I think it's important. I think the real estate community needs to be thinking about this and needs to figure out, you know, how you know, how to protect it, right? Because I would say there's nothing really stopping anybody from just saying, hey, I'm going to create an AR, you know, display or some sort of advertising, you know, on top of my office today, you know. Like there's nothing preventing that today. We at the last retail loco that we had in Minneapolis at Mall of America, as you know, we had Atlas Earth there, you know, and they were talking about, you know, their whole sort of digital layer that they built on top of, you know, the US and all properties there. Yeah. So let's just go right to the next story now. And yeah. Carson, you want to walk us through what Reveal Mobile is doing?
Absolutely. So Reveal Mobile is signing a partnership with LoopMe, and it's about out-of-home measurement. So again, we have the topic that we will find out how many people are seeing the advertisement, what kind of out-of-home channel they are using, and how we can support surveys for this. So at the end of the day, LoopMe is having a lot of out-of-home advertising opportunities, and they try to find out how they, in real time, how they react with the customers and potential brand clients on this. So at the end of the day, this is about the story. We had it very often in the past that when it comes to measurement and the brand visibility, we were using different technologies. So it's great to see Reboot Mobile doing that right now.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's an interesting one in that, you know, Loop.me, obviously, you know, they've been a serious player for some time in sort of programmatic advertising and, you know, on the digital side, on the CTV side, you know, and when you look at those, you know, those industries today, and Aubriana and I talk about this almost every week. I mean, the need for measurement and attribution against those campaigns is paramount. You know, no advertiser is going to buy today without some, you know, serious measurement behind it on performance. And, you know, when you talk about out of home, you know, that the same applies, right? It's just, it's a different, you know, beast in terms of how you measure that and reveal. You know, from a location data point of view, has been, you know, at the center of you know, out of home campaign measurement for some time. So I think it's just a good partnership. It's, you know, nothing technologically innovative here at all. But you're getting a best of breed out of home campaign measurement from Reveal, you know, being combined, you know, and extending the reach and the capability of what Loop.me can do with their, you know, advertising clients now beyond CTV and the digital side into the out of home space, right? So I think if you're, especially if you're a big brand, you're not looking, you know, everybody's is looking to have sort of, you know, a wide campaign across multiple platforms, and out of home has to be, you know, a good part of that mix, I think, today. So so I think it's a good partnership.
Absolutely, yeah, 100% agree. And always, when it comes to measurement, it comes about new formats as a different layer. So it's closing the loop. Sorry for our last story. When we go, okay, this is the inventory we have in terms of buildings and properties, and then we have other four media. Bringing that together is also a new game at the end of the day. And I think this is also what the LBMA is standing for, yeah, bridging technologies and media channels to reach the right person at the right time with the right context again. And so this doesn't mean that we always have to invent the wheel new. It's always fine to see partnerships like this coming up, say, right, let's do it again and make it proper.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, jumping to our final story now. So Doe Media, or DO Media, who's another out-of-home advertising player, and Placer.ai have teamed up to create a new service called PeopleToMySpot.com. And this is focused on small and medium businesses. So the idea here is, you know, while we just talked about, you know, the need for attribution and measurement, one of the other big challenges in the out-of-home space is, you know, how do we, you know, make people aware, make businesses aware of what inventory is actually available? And in particular, what inventory is available near, you know, where their business is. And I think for big corporations, if you're McDonald's or you're Home Depot or you're, you know, people like that, you spend a lot of money on, you know, all these different, you know, forms of media, and you certainly spend, you know, money on out of home. But I think for small businesses, this is much more difficult to do. And so essentially the goal of this website, again, it's just PeopleToMySpot.com. You can just go there and you can type in your business address. So I tried this out a few times with, you know, local coffee shops in New York, or, you know, record stores, or, you know, whatever, just playing around with it. And essentially what it comes back with, you know, powered by Placer's, you know, foot traffic data is, and it's based on the zip code that you punch in. It comes back and says, here are the businesses in that zip code that are, you know, trending in terms of traffic. You know, is it up or down month over month, all those kinds of things. And it gives you some sort of high level metrics on, you know, foot traffic by industry types and those kinds of things. So I think that's useful, or maybe interesting. You know, I think the one thing that I found a little bit confusing about it was, if I'm the small business owner, I go there, I type in my thing, my address, I'm expecting to get, some information on foot traffic to my business, but that's not what it's giving you. It's giving you foot traffic on the key businesses in your zip code area, which is still useful and good. But I think the focus of this tool and where I see the real value is then, after you see that data, then there's another button you can click on to say, okay, well, what advertising, what out of home inventory is available to me in this area. Now, very smartly, makes you create an account. And so they get your business information and your contact and all that kind of stuff. But then it shows you and says, okay, well, there's, this billboard, on this street in the neighborhood, or this billboard in this, in this gym, or this digital screen in this gym, or those kinds of things in your area that you can advertise on. And so I think in terms of helping businesses understand what's available near them that they can take advantage of at a price point that is makes sense for small, medium businesses, I think this is a pretty cool way to kind of create exposure and awareness of that. So I like it. And I think it's just coming to market now. I think they can do a lot to improve this, but I like the direction it's going.
Yeah. Well, what I really love about it, it seems to be open. It's not like this closed inventory list we have from our other food companies and advertisers. We have here, if I understood it right, a selection of many different displays and advertisement possibilities around your business. And it's not just this closed view, which can give you a digital out-of-home company, because they already played around with that for years now. And also for the foot traffic data, but combining it with places data makes it, from my perspective, much more open and much more valuable at the end, because you know by yourself, there are so many billboards around your house, you have no clue who is running that. So, and if they can solve this problem, just to give an inventory list around you, which allows you to see, all right, this is from this guy, this is from that, and I can do advertising on smart TVs and things like that, just combining that, it makes it easy to book. I think that can improve the whole industry a lot, because this advertising money right now is more or less not in focus of everybody, because it's too complicated to get those clients. And this is a step in the right direction from my point of view. So remember our longtime partner, RTL Media Group from Germany, they're selling also their stuff now locally, and say, right, you can have an TV ad running in your area for a reasonable amount of money, which is just affordable for you and your business, makes sense to you. And if you combine that with traffic data, that makes it more useful for everyone. So yes, I really like the idea, improvement in terms of how they sell it, obviously. And also, just communicate that it's open, and maybe you can register by yourself and you spot, oh, there's a display or something like that.
Yeah, and I think the stats that they shared in this story also back it up. So they said that this is 2022 data, but 20% of all out-of-home ad spend in the U.S. came from only 100 major corporations, right? So to me, what that says is that there is a lot of businesses. We know small businesses are the backbone of every country out there, and so there's way more of them than there are major corporations. And I think what I love about the focus of this combined platform here is really about widening the universe of potential businesses that can participate in out of home, right? Because if you don't know about it and you don't know what's available, you can't buy it. And I think that, trying to expand that that market, the way that they're doing this here, I think is really smart. So I like it.
Absolutely. Okay.
So that's our show for this week. Four interesting stories there. You've been listening and watching episode number 657 of Location Weekly. Thank you so much, everybody, for your time. We'll both be back next week for another show, but we do want to remind you that there are a couple of LBMA Retail Loco conferences just on the horizon. We'll talk more about that next week, but certainly our European conference is happening early April and late April. We'll be in Minneapolis at Mall of America for an event there as well. So reach out to us if you have if you want to talk about that or getting involved in either of those events. We'd love to have you there. But for now, have a great week, and we'll see you next week with another show. Take care. Bye.